Hey there, Landmark family. Joining you this evening in a little bit different fashion than we typically would in a midweek Bible study. But I am happy that we have the opportunity to at least do this and gather in some way. And so we hope that this is a little bit of an encouragement to you this evening. This is out of my comfort zone. I don't like seeing or hearing myself recording, so I'm by myself tonight. In the office, in the church. And so you can see I'm still kind of moving in to this office. Have a lot to do, but just going to record a few things this evening for you so that you can watch it as you'd like to on Facebook or on our website. And so we hope that what we do tonight will be an encouragement to you. We're going to be trying to do this or things similar to this each Sunday and Wednesday. Sunday will be a little bit different. We'll record a sermon in the church auditorium, and so it will be a little bit more of a setting typical of what we would see on a Sunday morning, and I'll preach from there. We'll keep continuing through our series in the book of John, and we will be starting, hopefully this week, chapter 15, and so looking forward to recording that and getting that to you and ready for Sunday. So for tonight, we're going to work some of the kinks out as we go. I have a little bit of a video program here that I've been toying with a little bit and trying to figure out. So we're going to try to show you some things. So hopefully you won't have to look at me for the next 20 or 25 minutes or so, and you won't have to just look at me. But we're going to do some things together. Now, as we progress over the next few weeks, because in my opinion, some of the things that our country, our community is doing, it will take some time for it to work and for it to take effect. We're praying that the Lord uses whatever decisions are made, that the Lord uses those decisions to help and to give us the opportunity to be together again and to go back to what we would call normalcy in our lives. Although I think that this experience will change a lot of us for a long time. I think it will change, I hope it will change our appreciation for being able to meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I was thinking about this today, the fact that there are people around the world that have to live this way consistently as far as their functionality as a church body, not able to meet in large groups on a consistent basis. And so I think today it may give us a little bit of appreciation for what some of our brothers and sisters in Christ do around the world on a regular basis. So just to be upfront about kind of how we are building in several different capabilities as the week goes on. There are some things that we're going to try to do as a church to make these next few weeks enjoyable, if you would call it that way, as a church, to make give us the ability to stay engaged and to interact with each other on a regular basis. I hope that you are calling each other, checking up on each other in different ways. We're going to be doing that as a church staff. We've been able to help a couple people already with different things that these circumstances have brought into our lives. And so we want to shine the light of the gospel in spite of trouble. And that's part of what we're doing here this evening and gathering around God's word here in just a few moments. We're going to be building in some things, and I have several ideas of things that we're going to do. Of course, our Sunday service will be streamed or posted online for you. We'll do the same thing on Wednesday nights. I've had some people that have had great ideas, and we've bounced some things around about doing a kids' lesson on here in the next couple weeks and doing a couple kids' lessons and giving the opportunity for our kids to see and to hear, interact with a kids' Bible teacher like they would at church. We are thinking about doing some short 2, 3, 4, 5 minute family devotions on some different nights. And so it'll give us some things to do. The more some of us have to do this social distancing more than others. Some of our jobs are calling for us to be out and about each day, and some of us have been able to stay home. And so we want to do some things and give some resources. So that's a few things. We are working on things like online giving, the ability to still be able to take part in that and introduce that. We have been working on it already. This is sort of expediting the need for that. And so we hope to have that up by the end of the week. There are a number of things. For instance, we won't have it this evening, but I'm working on for one of our evening Bible studies, incorporating a little trivia game that you'll be able to see and take part in as a couple or as a family, and do some different things. There's no rule book for how we are supposed to do this, and so we're going to do our best to do things that will honor the Lord and edify each other as Christians. And so we want to take part in these things these next few weeks. Stay active, stay engaged, and as a church, let's live out our faith before the world and be an example and shining light of Christ. You're going to see me toying with a few things on the computer here as we go this evening, and I'll be changing some things around for you as you'll be able to see some different parts of my screen. For instance, I'm going to share with you my computer screen at times, and then sometimes I'll be big. Sometimes I will drop in here a little smaller so you can deal with me in a much smaller basis. And so still learning this, and so there may be some kinks here and there, but we hope that it will be something that encourages us and edifies us. That's really the biggest goal here this evening. So I'm gonna put a few things up for us, and we'll see as we go if these things work, and do our best as we go along. Oh, there we go. Okay, so at least we know that this part is active. It says, welcome there. Thanks for joining. And you are sort of interacting here on a virtual basis. We're coming together. I hope that as we pray, that we will pray together. In services in the future, we will have some time of singing. We'll record some different music, and hopefully you'll sing along there with us. Before we jump into God's Word tonight, we're not going to take a long time this evening. We're all still getting accustomed to our normal avenue. Some of you may be watching this on your phone and holding it up there for yourself. Some of you may have the capability or already know how to cast this to your TV or be able to watch this on a TV or on a computer and give you a little bit better visibility there. And so we're going to be brief this evening, but I do have a few things as a church just to make sure that we're caught up on and that we're announcing as we kind of progress through some of this together. So I'm going to put a few of them up here. First of all, obviously, there's no services at the church property for the next 2 weeks at least. Our government, local and national, have been making suggestions and also making certain temporary rules for us and for all sorts of different organizations in our community. And we know that the suggestion right now is no groups larger than 10 gathered together. And if just a couple families showed up, we'd be over that. And so no services in person at the church property for the next 2 weeks. We have bounced the idea around of some small groups. If they ever raise that number from 10 back up to 50, then maybe we can do some smaller in-person Bible studies on multiple nights throughout the week and give us a chance to engage in person. But for right now, no services at the church property for at least the next 2 weeks. Services will be posted by video, and the audio will be available as normal on the website. And so we will bring those to you as quickly as we can, make them available to you as much as we can. We're going to be doing some things, as I mentioned, for more online engagement by the end of the week. And you're welcome to submit ideas to me if you want to email them to me or through the office, text them to me. I have seen a number of churches doing different things, and we want to incorporate anything that will be helpful to our church body. Let me pull this up as well. We have make sure that we have what we need here. We're frozen up a little bit. There we go. Get rid of my face here. There we go. Our church work day and international dinner and our communion service coming up the next 2 weeks, they are all postponed indefinitely at the moment. And as soon as we could possibly reschedule some of those, we will do so. We've actually had a few people come in this week to help work and clean. We're doing a few things at the church since there's nobody on the property. We're doing them in a safe, sanitary manner, not getting into big groups, and really able to work alone on some different projects, rewiring some electronic things and some lights, cleaning out some facilities. If you have the availability and want to drop by, we could give you some things to do on your own in a safe way. But we will see what all we are allowed to do over the next few weeks. But as far as our group work day, that has been postponed as well. And then I do have one announcement about our Awanas that Mr. Hoffman gave to me. If we can pull it up here. That our kids clubs, he's doing something good here with our kids clubs, our Awana kids clubs, that will let you stay engaged and let kids stay up to date. And that is, we're going to let parents sign to complete sections for clubbers. And so that will allow you to listen to your child's verse and then sign off that they have said it to you. And then when we are able to come back, they will be where they need to be as far as their verses for the coming weeks. Why don't you take your Bible this evening and turn to the book of Psalm, if you have it. And as I mentioned, we'll try to be brief this evening, but we do want to take a little bit of time and gather around God's Word for a few moments. And so if you would, take your Bible, look at Psalm, and we'll be in Psalm number 91 here in just a few moments. A familiar psalm to most of us, and it's familiar for a number of different reasons. It's known as a psalm of comfort, a psalm for those who have placed their trust in God. It's a psalm of refuge. And so we're going to read through this evening and then draw attention to the last three verses in particular. We're going to walk through it verse by verse and then really draw attention to what God says of us at the end. And so I'm going to be putting a few things up on your screen there, hopefully, as long as this works, and we'll be able to kind of do this Bible study together and walk through it together. So we're going to do our best here as we go. All right, let me pull my screen back over for you. And you're there in Psalm 91. And let's draw our attention to a few things this evening. First of all, as we introduce this particular psalm, I want you to notice some things about it. It's very similar wording to Deuteronomy 32 and 33. And so we do think, most people believe, that this is a psalm of Moses. And so it corresponds some with a song that was there in Deuteronomy 32 and 33. It is written in a responsive style. And so what that means is it is written as though one person is giving us something in verses 1 and 2. And then in verse 3 and 4, there's a response to that, sort of a liturgy, or it is a responsive reading in a way. So verses 1 and 2 are person 1. Verses 2 and 3 are person 2. And then person 1 speaks again in verses 4 and 5 and so on and so on. And then something interesting happens at the very end. The Lord sort of interrupts and it starts speaking as God, and not just these two interactive voices responding back and forth. And so that's something interesting of note here as well in Psalm 91. It has a background of crisis and trouble. And we know that in our world today, we are facing a particular crisis together. The whole world deals with crisis on a regular basis. We know that that is the case. But this is unique right now in that the world is facing the same crisis, the same trouble together. People all over this world, out of the billions of people, there are billions of problems happening all the time. But we're facing this one together. And so I think it's appropriate that we look at Psalm 91, this psalm that is born out of crisis or trouble. We also can notice a few other things about the psalm before we read it, that the object of this particular psalm, if you look in verse number 1, says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So we're introduced right away in verse number 1 to the object of this particular psalm. It is "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." It's about this one that has placed his faith and his trust in God and God alone. We have mentioned the last couple Sundays in our services that our lives and how we live our lives speak of the trustworthiness of Jesus Christ. And so as we enter into this crisis with the rest of the world, what is the difference between how we as Christians are going to handle this crisis and any crisis in our lives compared to the way that the rest of the world, those that are lost and those who have not placed their faith in Christ, what's the difference? Well, our life speaks of, do we place our trust in ourselves? Do we place our faith in what we can do in our own ability? Or do we place our faith and display the life that we live in Jesus Christ, speaking of his trustworthiness, speaking that we can rely on him? And so that's where we're going to look this evening. Let's read the psalm, and then we will walk through some of these things together. First of all, you're there by yourself or as a couple. You can even read these verses out loud with me, but I will read them aloud for us there. And it's on your screen and then as well in your Bible. I'll take myself down here. All right. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome or the disturbing pestilence," disrupting things in our lives. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, or the serpent, shalt thou trample under feet." So far, each of these verses, or sections of verses, paragraphs, have been being read back and forth to each other. And now, it's almost as if these two believers in God are responding to each other, or two groups encouraging each other, which hopefully is what we're doing in the Lord, encouraging each other. But then God interrupts, and we have these verses 14 through 16, where it is the voice of God speaking. Now it says, "Because he hath set his love," notice this, "upon me." So this is God speaking now. "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation." And so, let's put this back up here for a minute. And so, as we read this psalm, we see some wonderful things, some wonderful words, some wonderful promises in this particular psalm that are meant for the believer in particular, the one that has placed his faith and trust in God and God alone. Notice in verse number one, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. This is not just someone who claims God by name. This is not just someone who claims God in a novel way. This is one that depends on, that places his ultimate satisfaction and desire in the Lord. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I think it's interesting, that word secret place of the Most High. I think the whole world right now would like a secret place to dwell, don't you? Somewhere that they could get away from all that is going on. Somewhere that they could kind of hide from the disease and the sickness that has captivated our attention. A secret place of protection, help, security, confidence. Think of all the uncertainty that people are facing right now today, that we are facing as individuals and as a church. That's really what brought me to this passage this evening, or this devotion, is that even within our church, I've talked to so many people already that have uncertainty about school. All of our college kids came home, 12, 15 different students, all of them had to finish their on-campus classes for the year and now return home to do classes online. And there's uncertainty there about how all of those things will work. College, jobs, and finance. I've talked to people who this is already affecting what they do for a living. And we need to be in prayer for each other, how we handle each other with care. Some are concerned about health. Some are concerned about where we go and what we do involving each other. People are nervous right now about even having food delivered, because who knows where that came from, or this or that, or going to the store just to get what we need. There's uncertainty everywhere. And the world, in a sense, would be looking for a place, a secret place to avoid and stay out of this crisis. And if we're not careful, our minds can constantly end up dwelling on the ifs or the conditional statements of life right now. Throughout this moment of life, it's easy to think about what if this happens, or if this happens, what would happen next? And our minds and our hearts are led to worry, and worry and anxiousness in our lives simply can be meditating or rolling over thoughts in our minds that just right now we simply don't know to be true. So I want our focus for a few minutes to be on a few things that God says are very true, things that are true about us. And so let's have a word of prayer for a moment, and then we're going to go back and look at the chapter, glance through some of those verses one more time, and then really hone in on those last three verses about what God says is true about us. So you pray with me there as I pray here publicly. Let's ask the Lord for help. Lord, we ask that as we come into your presence tonight, into your word, we are thankful that your presence is always with us. And that no matter if we are at home, myself in this office, or no matter where we are scattered abroad, some that are working, some that are having to carry about a very different form of life, we pray that you would guide and direct us. We pray that we would be anchored in your word and in the promises of the gospel, that they would unify us now more than ever. We know that though we are not meeting in person, we are still your local church body. And so may we encourage each other. May we be the arms and the hands and the body of Christ, acting out, doing the works of Christ in this world at a time where there is greater need than maybe ever before. And so help our minds and our hearts as we look for just a few minutes at your word to understand, to be taught of your nature, to be taught then of what we are like, and then how we can become more like you. And we will praise and glorify you for what you do in us. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. I want to go back and draw your attention to a few things here in this passage tonight as we walk through. And so I'm going to do my best here to put up those verses again for you. And let's just draw our attention to a few certain things together. All right. I want you to notice as we walk through, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And we see here in verses 1 and 2 where if we place our trust in God and live our faith in Him each day, and for us in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that God shadows us, that we live in a way in which every aspect of our lives is affected by His presence. Think of that picture of being shadowed by the Lord, a rock, a shelter, a fortress. We live and can live completely within our God. And so as we walk by faith in Him, He shelters us. And in Him, we have placed our trust. Verses 3 and 4, as we walk by faith in Him, then He leads us away from the snares, the traps, the perilous things that could harm our lives spiritually. And then here it is again, that picture says that He covers us here, not with just a shadow, but with His feathers. It gives picture of the care of Christ, or the care of God in our lives. Under His wings, we can trust. And then notice in particular what it says here, and I will emphasize a few things for us as we go. Notice it says here that His truth... Not a very good circler here, but I'll try to draw attention to it. That His truth, right here, His truth will be our shield and our buckler. That God, His word, His truth, His precepts, that is what will guide and protect and defend us. So a lot of people that want defending in this world today from this disease, from this sickness, defense from a loss of a job, defense from financial trouble, whatever it may be. But we know that the only thing that can guide us eternally and guard us eternally is God and His Word. And so as we walk through each day, though we may not know exactly what each day holds, we know that God is our guide. Look at the next set of verses. This says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or the destruction that wasteth at noonday." There are all sorts of parts to this crisis that's going on right now. There are thoughts at night, thoughts during the day. This is a picture, verse 5 is kind of a picture of secret attacks. The terror by night in the Bible day, you can kind of imagine the robbers or the secret attacks that would come in the night, clouded by darkness, or the arrow that flieth by day, the warfare, the battle that we face. And God guides through both of those. Verse 7, it says, "A thousand shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." Now, this is exciting. This is a really important thing. Notice what it says here, where it says, "Only thine eyes, only with thine eyes are you going to see these things." What does that mean? What does it mean that only with our eyes will we behold the reward of the wicked? This is an amazing promise, because Jesus Christ has already borne our sins in Himself. Jesus has borne the punishment of our sins. And that no matter how our lives may be affected by crisis or trouble, we will never face the punishment of God for our sins if we are found in Christ, saved by Him through faith, by grace alone, through His sacrifice on the cross and resurrection to new life. If that is the case for your life, you may behold the wrath of God, you may see the wrath of God one day, but you will never experience the wrath of God in your life. What a fantastic promise that is, to know that no matter what happens these next few weeks, the worst that could happen is that our lives would be affected temporarily, because we will never see the eternal judgment of God. Verses 9 and through 13, the Lord starts to promise victory here and give victory to those who trust in Him. I think it's interesting, verses 11 and 12, or verses really 10 through 12, it says, "There shall new either evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thee." It says, "For He shall give thee charge, His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." It's interesting, the devil, Satan himself, used this verse to tempt Jesus Christ when He was alone. And he said, cast yourself down. Throw yourself off of this high mountain, and even the angels will come and save thee. Jesus shows us the importance of understanding the scripture and keeping it in context. And then he quotes scripture right back to Satan himself. He says, don't tempt the Lord. These verses that we're reading, they do not tell us that we are physically invincible. That's not at all what the Lord is saying here. He's not promising to us that if we follow along, that though we are in battle, we will never fall or be harmed, that if we get sick, we will never feel the effects of that. That is not what he's promising. And when Satan says, cast yourself off of this temple, Jesus, and he uses this verse saying, the angels will save you, Jesus says, that's not at all what that is telling us. That's not at all the context of that promise, but that God guides and guards us. In fact, as we think about it, the fact that he is our refuge means that he's our refuge from attack. The fact that he's our fortress means that we have an enemy. The fact that he's our shield means that weapons can come against us. The fact that he delivers us from the snare of the fowler means that there is one who is trying to hurt or harm us. If 1,000 fall in battle around us, as that verse says, it means that we are fighting in that battle. He will shelter you with wings from what? From a storm, from those that would destroy. He mentions there in verses 13, defeating a lion and a dragon or a serpent. That means they are coming against you. So this passage does not mean you will never face trouble and that you are invincible to physical problems, but it means that we will face trouble. But that in that trouble, we have a great God who has made wonderful promises to us. Let's look for just a minute or two at that tonight. I'm going to take you back over to some things that we can look at together. And I want to draw our attention back to verses 14 through 16. And let's point out some things that we see here from God's Word. What God says of people that dwell in Him. What does it say here about those that dwell in the Lord? Look, if you would, back in verses 14 through 16. It says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Now, this is the Lord speaking. Deliver who? Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about the one that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. What does God have to say about that person? What would God have to say about us? What does God have to say about us if we are following him? What does it look like to God? How does God describe one that follows him? He's going to give us five quick descriptions here as he goes through. Number one, they set their love on the Lord. Look at verse 14 again. Because he hath set his love upon me. Well, that's important. These next few days and these next few weeks could prove a lot about what we love and about what we care about. Will they reveal our need and our love for work, for money, for success, for things, for social life, for common luxuries of life? Will we be caught complaining with a bitter spirit or a hateful attitude about the circumstance that we find ourselves in? Or will this reveal a deep love for God and satisfaction in Him that shows the world that we do not have just a passing affection for Christ that dies out with circumstance, but we have a passion for our God and a love of who He is to us? Verse 14 again, because He hath set His love upon me. Someone that dwells in God has set their love on the Lord. Look at number two, if you would. They know His name. Look at the end of verse 14. Therefore, while I deliver him, I will set him on high. Who? Well, and why? Because he hath known my name. Knowing the name of God speaks to knowing God personally, knowing his nature and his character. And the love that we see mentioned at the beginning of the verse leads to a deeper relationship with God at the end of the verse. Notice it says, he has set his love on me and he knows my name. The more that we love God, the greater our desire is to know our God. Are we going deeper in our relationship with God? Think about the opportunity that God may have given us for these next few weeks. He has canceled sporting events. He has canceled group functions. We have seen social interaction brought to a minimum. Even our work schedules have slowed to a halt for some of us. And it is an opportunity to see our love and our knowledge of God grow. And God says, the one that dwells and abides in me sets their love on me. They know me. And look at number three, they pray with certainty. Notice, if you would, verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. They pray certainly and effectively. What makes prayer effective or effectual, or what would we say makes a successful prayer? Is it that it is answered? Is it that it is answered quickly? Is it that it is answered exactly how we pray it? That means I'm successful in my prayer life if God listens and does exactly what I petition him for. Or is it very simply this? He calls and I hear an answer. That is the successful prayer. That is the certain and effectual, effective, successful prayer, is the fact that it is not about who I am or how well I pray, but it is the fact that God is the one hearing it. That God knows that as I pray and he hears what I am asking from him. Let me give some room here to where you can see. And then number four is that they experience God's presence. I'll put that up for you as we go. Number four, they experience God's presence. Look, if you would, at the end of the verse, or middle of that verse, verse 15. I will be with him in trouble. God promises his presence. We are not alone right now. We have been making efforts to communicate and engage and stay involved as a church. We are trying to make it through this time of what the world has coined social distancing. But you know what God says is true about all of us that dwell in him and that abide in him daily? It says that he is with us in trouble. Trouble cannot always be escaped, but we don't experience that trouble alone. The peace of God, as we talked about this last Sunday, is not the fact that all trouble is avoided, but it is that we experience that trouble with the presence of God. And then that leads us to the last thing. Look at the end of verse 15 through 16. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God makes promises here. So what is true of people that live and dwell in God? We want to be a people that lives and abides in God, even now in this moment of our lives. Well, they set their love on the Lord. They know his name. They pray with certainty. They experience God's presence and they experience God's promises. What are they? Look, if you would, in verse number 15, I will deliver him. God will deliver, whether it is now in the physical life or whether it is eternally as he delivers us to the freedom of heaven in our spiritual lives. It says that he gives honor. It says that he gives them eternal life. With long life, will I satisfy him. Now, does that mean that we will live for a certain number of years? Who's to say what long life really may be? But we know that in Christ, we have eternal life beyond the physical life that we are promised here on this earth. We are promised eternal life forever in the presence of God. And what should that mean for us? With long life will I satisfy. He gives us satisfaction. And how? And I will show him my salvation. These are the promises of God. Not that we will never get coronavirus. Not that we will never get cancer. Not that we will always have everything that we think we need, not that we will always have everything that we desire or a comfortable life, but God promises to deliver us. He promises honor through how we glorify his Son. He promises us eternal life and satisfaction, eternal satisfaction in the fact that Christ has saved us. So what again does it look like? What does it mean that God, we dwell in the presence of God? These next few days, what does it look like for our lives in the midst of this massive worldwide crisis? What would it look like for a Christian to live and abide in the peace and in the presence of God? Are we setting our love on the Lord? Are we seeking to know more of him and know his name? Are we praying daily and with certainty and confidence? Are we experiencing God's presence? Do we understand that God is with us? Are we experiencing God's promises? Not the promises that we may want. The things, the circumstance, the freedom from trouble, but the promises that he gives us in his word. Those are what we are looking at. And I want to show you very quickly what happens when someone dwells in the Lord. This is what it's all about. This chapter focuses on us in a way. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. But it's at the beginning, we're looking at God through the lens of the one that follows and dwells in him. And watch what's going to happen. I'll put this up for us. It says, because he hath set his love upon me. And I want you to notice some particular things. Because he set his love upon me, I will deliver him. It says, I will deliver him. Notice the next part. I'm going to put it up here so I can emphasize these things for you. It says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Here's what it's focusing on. Because he hath known my name, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. These are all things the Lord is doing. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Notice, if you would, going back to these things, notice now how it changes. It's not talking about us. It's not talking about the one. It says, I. Here it says, I will set him. So what does this mean? I will answer. I will deliver. It says, with long life, I will satisfy him with my salvation. I will be with him in trouble. So what does this mean for us? It means that the one that follows the Lord will bring glory to him. Because when we love the Lord, it is him that delivers us, and it is the world that gets to see it. When we focus on knowing him, it says he sets us on high. It's a form of protection. When we pray, he answers. He's the one doing great things. He's the one that is glorifying. He is the one that is bringing honor to himself by how he works and lives in our life. And so this chapter, though it is about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, let me emphasize to you, it is more about the God that he is following. Because when we set our love on him, when we seek to know his name, when we abide in his presence, when we claim his promises, when we live in a way that honors him, finding satisfaction in him regardless of crisis, it brings glory to God. And so, in this circumstance, if we will dwell and live and abide with our Lord, it will point the world to Christ. And though we see here deliverance from crisis, deliverance from problems, and wonderful promises of God, what we see more than the one that is following is the one whom he follows. And so that is our prayer. That is what we long to see and long to be as Christians. Selflessly following the Lord, bringing him glory. What words and what promises? Jesus says, or God says here, love me and I'll deliver. Know me and I will protect you. Pray and I will answer. If you experience trouble, I am with you. And now you have these great promises from the Lord. So let us dwell and abide in our God during this time. And we won't be able but to help point to the glory of Christ. When you go to work this week, when you go to the doctor, hopefully you don't have to go to the doctor this week, but if you do, as you interact with people, as you speak with people on the phone, are they going to see more of our response to this crisis? Or are they going to see us following our Savior through this crisis? Are they going to see us relying and leaning in and leaning on our Lord, our God, and our Savior? I hope that this has been encouraging to you. I've been sitting here by myself talking to myself, and hopefully in a few minutes you'll be able to watch and take part in this as well. This is new to all of us, but I want us to have a few minutes or a moment of prayer, and then we will finish and close our evening together. I won't be mentioning specific prayer requests for members in our church by name, because this is going to be on the website and on Facebook and to help keep their privacy. But if you know the ones in our church that need prayer, we'll be updating you by email and by letter on some of those things. the Lord has worked some mighty miracles in certain people's lives physically this week, and we're praising the Lord for it. But as a family there, or as a couple, why don't you take a couple moments and pray? I'm going to take myself off the screen here for a minute and give us just a few moments of quiet. And then as we do, I will close us in prayer together. So as you can there, let's take a moment and pray. Father, we love you and we praise you for who you are. We praise you that even in this passage that teaches about what it looks like for one to place their faith and their trust in Christ, the experience, the life that they will live, that even in this passage, we can't help but see the glory and the greatness of our God. May in these next days and weeks, may you encourage us by who you are. May you teach us of your love. May we be shining lights of the gospel for Christ. May we, as this passage says, dwell in the secret place. Though we may not be able to avoid a world that is full of sickness and trouble right now, may we be able to find refuge in you. May we be able, as the verse says, to avoid the snare of the fowler. We think of the Satan coming after our minds and our hearts. We think of Satan as he tries to discourage us and impress on us fear. But may we trust in you and hide under your wings. May your truth be our shield, our buckler. May we not be afraid by the terror of night or the warfare or the battles that we face each day. We thank you that only with our eyes will we ever see the punishment of sin, because you have borne it all on the cross for us. I thank you tonight that these words that you speak of us are true. That if we're following you, we've set our love on you. Help us to do that. Help us to seek to know your name, to grow in our knowledge of you. Help us to call on you. Help us not to focus completely on what we can do to fight this crisis and problem in our lives, but may we just lean and trust in your grace and your strength, because you have said, I will be with them in trouble. I pray that you deliver us physically, but that you'd manifest our spiritual salvation to us, that you'd make it clear in our eyes and in our minds and our lives. I pray for our church, for wisdom. I pray for grace. I pray for opportunity. I pray for those that are hurting, those that are fearful. May we be able to explain this well to our children. May we be able to handle this well with those in our community. As we implement new ways to interact with each other, and new efforts to reach people with the gospel of Christ, may it be effective. May it be filled with your spirit and led by your power and by your wisdom. You know that I love this church congregation. My heart hurts that in some ways we are not able to endure this together in person. But I pray that you'd bring us back together quickly. But that while we are apart physically, you guide and direct us, that we would place our full faith and trust in you and in who we are in you. We pray to you, we pray to you that you would guide and direct in your precious name. Amen.